And the pasuk at the end of the sedra tells us lo sasu niti lo ichasef velo heisahav lo sasu lachem. And Chazal of a series of drashas in the Gemara of Avodah Zarah and Daf Mem Beis Mem Gimel, we derive from these psukim there is an iser of producing images that are kedmus shamashim hamishamshim lefanai b'marim, images of celestial bodies, images of sun, moon, stars, images of Tzuras Adam, and other related things as well. The Gemara has a series of drashas that are all derived from this pasuk. So what we'll discuss this evening are some of the practical applications of these halachos. Specifically, we'll address the iser of images of the sun, moon, stars, and the iser of images of humans. And the Gemara tells us that there's an iser asiya, there's a prohibition of creating such images, and there's also an iser shahiya of retaining ownership of such images. Presumably, according to most Rishonim, the iser shahiya is only a din derabanan. There may be a minority opinion that it's in fact a din deraisa, but we generally assume that the iser asiya is an iser deraisa, and the iser shahiya, the iser of retaining such images, is only an iser derabanan. Tosus here on Daf Mem Gimel Amud Beis and Avodah Zarah, Dibur Maskel Vaha, the second Vaha, notes that when it comes to images of Chama Levana Umazalos, there's no distinction between Bolit and Shokei. The Gemara seems to indicate earlier that there may be situations in which there's a distinction between protruding images and sunken images. That protruding images may be more of an iser than sunken images, but the Gemara Tosis here says when it comes to producing images of sun, moon, stars, and such celestial bodies, there's no distinction between sunken and protruding. What about two-dimensional images? So that's a little bit less clear. If you look in the Rambam, that you have here the Marmer Kamos, the Rambam in Hilchas Avodah Zarah, Perek Gimel, Halach Yud Aleph. The last line here in the edition you have in front of you, the Rambam writes, V'chein asir latzir demus chama levana kochavim mazalos umalachim, shenamar lo sasun iti, lo sasun kedemus shamasha hamishamshim lefana b'maram, v'afilu ala luach. The Rambam says the iser applies even ala luach, even on a tablet. So presumably the Rambam means that even two-dimensional imagery of sun, moon, stars would be subsumed under this iser. This is a machlokas between the Taz and the Shach in Simen Kuf Mem Aleph in Yeridea. The Taz here in Sifkat and Yud Gimel is matir two-dimensional imagery of sun, moon, stars, whereas the Shach in Sifkat and Kaf Hei and the Nekudas HaKesef is machmir. If you look at the Piskei Tshuva quotes further machlokas among the later poskim as to how we paskin on this issue of two-dimensional imagery. And the general consensus in the halachic literature is that we follow the position of the Shach, that even a two-dimensional image of sun, moon, stars would be usser. So what does that mean, Lamaisa? In the Darkei Tshuva, the Darkei Tshuva is a collection, Al Seder Shulchan Aruch Yerideya, that was collected under the leadership of the Munkacher, the Minchas Elazar. So in the Darkei Tshuva there in Sifkata and Memvav, here Kuf Memal Sifkata Memvav, because of Masefer Yad Ketana. Yad Ketana is a super commentary on the Rambam. So he points out that this prohibition of producing two-dimensional images of sun, moon, stars, planets applies to anything that would be perceived to represent the sun. Even though the sun doesn't have rays coming out of it in real life, but if a person draws a picture of a circle with rays emanating from the circle, everyone understands that that's meant to represent the sun. So that would be subsumed under this iser, even though you could argue objectively that's not an accurate representation of what the sun really looks like. Along the same lines, Rabbi Falk from Gateshead has an article that he wrote many years ago in a journal called Amatora, in which he says, let's say you draw a picture of the night sky, and you have a black sky, and you have a series of dots. So those dots are meant to represent the stars. Now, stars don't really look like dots, but because that is the intended representation, and that is how we perceive the stars to look in that kind of a setting, then that would be subsumed under the iser as well. So you couldn't paint the night sky with the black sky with dots representing the stars. There's a Marit The Marit in Yeridaya Lamed Hey says it's also would be usher to draw a picture of a half moon. Even though there's no such thing as a half moon, we perceive the moon to have different phases, we perceive a half moon, even though there's no real such thing as a half moon, but that is how we perceive the moon, so that would be subsumed under this Isser as well. I think in that article he quotes from Nissen Karelitz that you could bake half moon cookies, because when you bake half moon cookies aren't meant to represent the moon, that's just a shape, we call it a half moon cookie, but it's not really meant to represent what the moon looks like. Okay. Rabbi Falk does concede over there that while you shouldn't be able to draw a picture of the setting sun, because that's the normal way that we perceive the sun, if you draw a picture of a sun on the top corner of a piece of paper, and you're only drawing a section of a portion of the sun, so because the rest of that is obscured, it's not on the paper, and that's not the full image of a sun, maybe that would be better, maybe that would be mutter. Given these constraints, so are there any legitimate grounds for allowing children to draw pictures of sun, moon, stars? Apparently they do this in a lot of kindergartens. So is there any halachic basis for allowing that? There's a brief comment in Chelech Ches of Igros Moshe, Arachayim Simen Tes, where he writes that even though maybe you would have argued that if you give a three-year-old a piece of paper and have him draw a picture of the sun, it doesn't look like anything that would come close to resembling the sun. But that's still educationally a poor idea, because you're encouraging them to do something that when they get older, they won't be able to do, because then it really will look like the sun. Rav Schechter conveyed to me similar sentiments when we discussed this once as well. Nevertheless, there may be one possible ground for leniency. Rav Vosner has this suggestion in Chuvas Shevet Alevi, I think it's Chelek Zayin Simen Kuf Lamed Dalet. So Rav Vosner there suggests maybe you could say the following. The question that he was asked there is whether there are grounds for allowing parsha projects for Parshas Bereishis, Parshas Vayeshev, when you have kids draw pictures of sun, moon, stars, or something of the sort. So the Gemara here has in Daf Mem Gimlin of Avodah Zarah the notion of l'hislami, of a dispensation for educational purposes. The whole starting point of the sugya here, which is why there's a parallel sugya in Rosh Hashanah as well, is that Rav Gamliel had certain images of the different phases of the moon that he would show people when they came, when they were Mekadosh Al Piriyah, so they asked a lot of questions. Did you see the moon like this? Did you see it like this? So apparently he had different models of what the moon looked like in various phases. So what was the heter for having those models, producing them, for owning them? Isn't that a violation of Los Asunitis? So the Gemara has a couple of suggestions to explain the rationale, the basis for Rabbi Gamliel's using these models. And one of the Gemara suggestions is Lehislami Chani. It's on Mem Gimel Amid Beis, towards the end of the excerpted section over here. Lehislami Chani. Detanya Losa Malasos Valtalame Lahavin Lahoris. So sometimes the Gemara has such a notion of Lehislami, that there may be grounds for something that otherwise would be usher for educational purposes. So strictly speaking, the Gemara usually only evokes l'slamin in the context of a bezdin or a posek needing to have certain information. So the Gemara elsewhere has a discussion of an amgushi, a sorcerer, someone who violates Eser Kishuv. So in order to know how to prosecute that offense, you have to know a little bit about what Kishuv is. So that's one application of l'slamin. See here also, Pashup Shad is that l'slami means that in order to be able to properly be Mekadosh Al Piri, he needed to do this, to have these images in order to be able to present what things look like. But some poskim have a more expansive understanding of l'hislami. So first of all, Pashup Shad in the Gemara, in the context of Rebbe Gamliel, the Gemara is only coming to answer the question as to why he was allowed to retain these images, not how he was allowed to create them. How was he allowed to create them? So that Tosfos discusses here, maybe it was Amir L'Akum, maybe he had a non-Jew do it for him. But Tosfos assumes that the Isser Los Asuniti may not apply to non-Jews, maybe it only applies to Jews, so that's only an Isser of Amir L'Akum, and Amir L'Akum could be relaxed where there's some other consideration that counterbalances the Amir L'Akum.
So it's for educational purposes, really. Can yeah. we give that same dispensation?
So that's what we're trying to talk about now. So again, the Gemara sounds like it's only talking about Lislami to be matter the Isra Shahiyah, of retaining the images, not to be matter the Isra Asiyah. That's how the Rush learns the Gemara here. There's a riff. The riff here sounds like Lislami comes even to allow for Asiyah, even to allow for creating such images. So along the lines of the riff, there may be grounds for expanding this notion of Lislami. There's a Meiri on Daf and the Sugi here, based on Beis Dibur Maskil Din Achirim, where the Meiri suggests that maybe there's as an expanded form of Lislami, it would be mutter to create images of sun, moon, stars to understand astronomy. And maybe that's also, even if there's not a halachic imperative, even if you're not doing it to be Mekadosh al Piriyah, but it's time to understand astronomy. So Meiri sounds like that would be mutter, that would be subsumed under Lislami. And then the Nekudas HaKesef goes even further, that the Shach and the Nekudas HaKesef here, commenting on the Taf and Sifkat Din Yigimel, the Shach suggests that maybe Lislamid would even extend to allow for the reproduction of images of the zodiac in Machzorim. So if you have your old Machzor Rabba, you have these very rudimentary pictures that represent the various constellations of the zodiac for the Mazalas. So in the older Machzorim, they probably had slightly more elaborate pictures. So the Shach suggests that maybe Lislamed would allow for, he has other snifim as well, he doesn't only rely on Lislamed, but he suggests that maybe Lislamed would be licensed to having these pictures of the zodiac in your machzor. So that's a more expansive understanding of Lislamed beyond just the allowance for Rav Gabliel or for the Beis Din to be able to be Mekadosh al Piriyah. So based on this, Rav Osner suggests then maybe this more expansive understanding of Lislamid would allow for having children draw images of sun, moon, stars because there's some kind of educational purpose there. You still have to justify what the educational purpose is. You understand the Seder better if you draw pictures of the sun? I'm not sure. Rav Schechter wasn't so convinced about this. He thought that the Shachsel Kula is difficult to understand anyway, and we generally don't have such an expanded understanding of Lislamid. Dayan Weiss has a Chuvah Minchas Yitzchak Chelek Yud Simin Ayin Beis, in which he assumes that Lislamed only applies in a situation in which you cannot have achieved the educational objective without this violation of the Isser. So we're the only way of learning something that you need to learn would be by creating an image that then would be Mutter, but short of that it would remain Usser. So it's difficult to justify what seems to be a pretty common practice of encouraging the drawing of sun, moon, stars. In most situations it seems to be problematic. Let's talk a little bit, as time is running out, about the Isser of Tzuras Adam, of creating images of man. So according to most Rishonim, the Isser of Tzuras Adam is slightly less rigorous than the Isser of Tzuras Chama Levana, whereas we assume that the Isser of Chama Levana planets is applicable even to two-dimensional images, even to drawing on a piece of paper. Most Rishonim seem to assume, the Ramban is a notable exception, but most Rishonim seem to assume that the Isser of Tzuras Adam only applies to three-dimensional images and not to two-dimensional images. That's why, according to most poskim, Mi'ikar Adin photography is mutter photography people, that you can take a picture and develop a picture and print a picture of human beings. Even though there's a famous episode that the Piskei Tshuva in the beginning of Siman Kuf Mem Aleph references the Tshuva of the Yavetz, in which he talks about the experience that his father, the Chacham Tzvi, had on his trip to London. He expands on this a little bit more in his autobiography, the Megillah Sefer, in which he writes that his father, the Chacham Tzvi, was very agitated when apparently in London, when he went to visit, they clandestinely commissioned some kind of a portrait artist to capture his image and make a portrait of him. So he was very upset when he found out about that. Apparently, he doesn't write in the autobiography, but apparently he then cursed the Kehillah in London. And someone told me that's why Ada Yom Hazeh, there hasn't been any successful yeshiva in London because of the curse of the Chacham Tzvi. Well, don't know if that's true. But he was upset about the fact that they took his image. Rav Kook has a tshuva in Das Kohen, in which he says that Me'ikra Din is Mutter, but there's definitely a Midas Chasidus to avoid photography or representing a full human image, but Lemaisa, general Minhag Olam seems to be Me'ikra about this.
Why is it any different than the sun and the moon for Adam, with two-dimensional versus
two? So, presumably it's because there's more of a chashash of a zara in the Chama Levana. The Tosus assumes that there's no distinction between Bolate and Shokea because that's how the sun, moon, stars are perceived. So maybe a function of perception as well, that there's a difference in, and when it comes to representing sun, moon, stars, so it's a clearer representation, even if it's two-dimensional, as opposed to a human image, where there's a stronger difference between a three-dimensional image and a two-dimensional image. Maybe something along those lines.
So taking a picture of the sky would be a problem?
Taking the picture of the sky would be a problem, yes. Taking the picture may not be as much of a problem, because the question is, what medium are you taking it with? Right. So if you, let's say you take a pic, let's talk about film photography, which no one has anymore. So developing the film presumably be a problem. Taking the picture, if you don't develop it, if it only exists on a piece of film, that may not be an issur because you haven't really done anything. Digital photography might be worse because the image exists right away. It may depend on what's considered direct action and indirect action. May depend on what's, well, first of all, does the issur apply even on de grama if you do something indirectly? And then how do you define grama? Is grama defined as any time there's a time delay, or is grama defined based on the lack of inevitability of the result stemming from the action? But definitely, if instantaneously when you take a digital picture it appears on the screen, then presumably that would be usur. Some possibly discuss, let's say you want to pull up an image on your computer, so then there may be more grounds to be mekel, because that is not miskayim, that's not permanent. So there's a marik like that, that the issur doesn't apply to something that's not permanent. This is relevant to the discussion that maybe we'll touch on briefly about, well, I don't know if we'll get there. So there's a marik that something that's not permanent may not be subsumed under this issur. So, I'm sorry? So then the screen in your camera may not be permanent. Right, so...
As soon as you swipe it, it disappears.
Right, okay, right. So if you're going to... Good. So if you're going to be makel based on this marik to bring something up on your computer, so then you're saying it should be the same thing if you take a digital picture, if you don't print it out, if it just exists in a temporary fashion on the camera. Okay, could be. Good. Okay, so in Shulchan Aruch we assume simple reading is that the Isser of Tzuras Adam only applies to three-dimensional images and not two-dimensional images. So if you look in Kuf Mem Aleph Siv Zayin, Yesh Misha Omer the Isser of Tzuras Adam only applies to a full image with the entire body. But the Isser of Losa Suniti, when it comes to Tzuras Adam, does not apply to a standalone head. It only applies if the whole body is represented, but the head alone would not constitute an Isser. That is based on a rush. Now, the Yavitz assumes here, according to Piskei Tshuva, that it doesn't mean what it seems on face value, that this heter of having a standalone head without the body only applies if the head is blank. As if the head has all the features of a head, all the features of a face, so then the issur applies even if it's not connected to the body. But if the it's only if you have a blank face without blank head without facial features that the issur would not apply. That's what the Yavetz assumes. Most poskim assume not like the Yavetz. Rav Schachter thinks that the Yavetz is correct. The Chasam Sofer, for example, assumes not like the Yavetz. Chasam Sofer Nechuba in Chelik Beis, Simon Kuf Kaf Ches, was talking about a situation of a Jewish artisan, a Jewish sculptor in sculpting school, who needed to make certain sculptures of human beings. And the Chasam Sofer suggested that as long as you leave out some facial features, and then have a non-Jew complete the image, and that would be okay. Again, assuming that he's assuming that there's no iser v'lo sasimiti for non-Jews. Okay, as we are further running out of time, let's just discuss briefly the iser shehiyah. So we began by noting that in addition to the iser asiya, the iser of creating images, is also an iser of retaining the images, which presumably, according to most Rishonim, is only an iser derabbanan. Why is there an iser shehiyah? So Tosas points out over here on Daf Mem Gimel Amud Aleph. Sorry, Mem Beis Amud Beis. Sorry, Mem Gimel Amud Beis. Tosas Dibur Maskil. Shani Rim Gamliel. Sorry, Dibur Maskil Lahar Rav Yehuda. So Tosas assumes that initially the Gemara, the way Tosas understood the Gemara, initially the Gemara thinks that the reason for the Isser of Shehiyah is because of a Chashad Asiyah, that people may suspect that you created this image in violation of the Din. And then the Maskanus Gemara said it's not a Chashad Asiyah, but rather a Chashad of Avodah Zarah, that people may suspect that you're actually worshipping these images. So in Shulchan Aruch, it says that even though nowadays people don't worship images in the same way that they used to, Avodah Zarah has fallen out of style. So there's less of a concern that if you're holding on to a human image or holding on to an image of the sun, moon, stars, that people are going to think that you actually worshipped it. Nevertheless, the Ramah Paskin to the end of Sif Gimel that the Issur Shehiyah still applies. So Ramah writes over there, Vaminik is far Rishona. Bizman of that, She'ena Ovde Kochavim Ovdin Litzira Salalu Mutarim Behana Imotan Aval Ein La Shosan. So nowadays people don't worship these things. So if you find one on the street, it's Mutar Behana, but you still shouldn't retain it. V'yesh Machmir B'chol Litzira San Eskara Safil Bizman of that, across the board. But the Ramah assumes and the Shach assumes that the Issur Shehiyah applies nowadays just as well. There is a Chachma Sadam who is more makel on this, that because people don't really worship Avodah Zarah the same way that they used to, the Issur Shehiyah doesn't apply to the same extent that that it did Bizman HaGemara. So if the Issur Shehiyah is as binding nowadays as it used to be, so how do you justify buying a book with a picture of the sun? How do you justify buying a newspaper with a picture of the sun? Or anything of the sort. So if you have the expansive kind of l'islame notion that we discussed earlier, so anytime you could argue that there's some educational objective that could be gained by having such an image, so maybe you could be makel on the basis of l'islame. If you don't accept that argument, so then presumably you would have to somehow deform the picture. If you had a picture of the sun, you'd have to draw a line through it or something of the sort to deform it. So that's the whole famous discussion about dolls, all for the boss. So what do you, is it mutter to own a doll, to create a doll if the doll is in human likeness? So both the Chazon Ish was reported to have held, and Rav Eliashiv, that if you have a doll with a human image, full human image, assuming not like the Yavetz, that the Yisr only applies if it's a full body, not just a face. So then you would have to deform it somehow, knock off the nose or something of the sort, to avoid the Yisr Shehiyah, to avoid the problem. As Rav Israel Orbach said to me once, Tzrichim l'shbor ta'af kedei shelo yecharon af. At the same time, Rav Avadia has a series of tshuvas in Yabi Omer. The most expansive one is in Chela Gimel, Yerodea Simen Chest, in which he suggests there may be two grounds for leniency about retention of dolls. Number one, we noted the Marit earlier, who says that the Isser of Lo Sasaniti doesn't apply to images that are not permanent. So it's arguable, Rav Avadya says, that if you have a doll, it's not really considered something permanent. It's not something that you're going to keep for a long period of time. It's a toy. So maybe that is subsumed under the heter of non-permanence. And then he suggests there's another possible ground for leniency of mevuzin. If you have something that is not respected, it's you throw it around in the dirt, so then the isser wouldn't apply. So a doll is a toy. You throw it around in the dirt sometimes. So he thinks that maybe mevuzin may be grounds for allowing retention of a doll. In that Shuvani Abi Omer, he doesn't think that would be enough to allow for manufacturing the dolls. But then subsequently, in I think in Yichavedas and in Shem Olam, he's more makel that maybe it could even be grounds to allow for creating them. It's possible that if you have something that's mass produced, that the iser shehiya may be, or the chashad involved may be less pronounced. Meaning, if the chashad is that if you're worried that maybe people would think that you created the object. So if it's a matter of chashad of Zara, it shouldn't make a difference. If the chashad is that you created a chashad asiya, which according to some Rishonim and maybe true in the Maskan of the Gemara, so then it's arguable that if you have something that's mass-produced, there's no real chashad. No one's going to think if you have a mass-produced doll that you actually made it yourself. So maybe on that front it might be a little bit better. If you connect, if you I'm sorry for that with the Chachma Sadam, that the Isser Shehiya doesn't apply Bismanazah Ba'osa Hamida anyway. So some of us can assume that you can make it like the Chachma Sadam, even if you're not making it like the Chachma Sadam. So Rav Avadya has these possible grounds for leniency to allow for retention of dolls. Much more to talk about, but we are out of time.